Now, this going into the same image as the Lord from glory to glory by His Spirit is illustrated how the Lord takes us into the priesthood of Yeshua from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion in Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. So Melcha is king, and Zedek is righteousness. And after that, also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, I want you to carefully notice, this is right after Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And who were these kings? These were giants who had made off with Lot and his whole family. This is without father, without mother, this king Melchizedek, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. This person was eternal, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brothers, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Okay, so he's saying that Levites, the Levitical priesthood, also receives a tenth. And they were in the loins of Abraham at this time. And that they were, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. But there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. As I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, he is saying that the Levites tithed Melchizedek through Abraham because they were in the loins of Abraham. Verse 11, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident. Okay, so he's establishing that this Melchizedek is a higher priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. And it's not after the order of Aaron. And therefore, there's a change in the legal requirements, because the Torah was the law. And he's also saying that this is another tribe, this Melchizedek, which had no command, you know, it wasn't of the tribal line to attend the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. So he's saying that Jesus did not come from the Levitical tribe. He came out of Judah, just as Melchizedek wasn't out of the lineage of the priesthood, and therefore there's a change in the law. And who is made, verse 16, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Okay, so this Melchizedek was from eternity, which indicates Jesus, who is also from eternity. Verse 17, for he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's an eternal priesthood, it's a higher priesthood than the law. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfectly, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near to God. And so much not as not without an oath he was made a priest. For those priests were made with an oath. But this was an oath by him that said to him, the Lord swore and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made the surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. This man, okay, so there were lots of priests, but Jesus was resurrected. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. This is Jesus, Yeshua. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who need not daily, as though as high priest, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity. Okay, the mortal. But the word of oath, which was since the law, makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So God swore by his own Son. And that's higher when that he was confirmed his priesthood by saying that he will not repent. Jesus is a priest forever after the eternal order of Melchizedek. It's an eternal priesthood. It's a higher priesthood than mortal men could offer to God under because they die. This Melchizedek, priesthood of Melchizedek, after which Jesus was declared by the Lord, did not die. It was eternal. Therefore, it is a higher than the law of that priesthood under Aaron. Let's open this up a little more by looking at Hebrews 9, verse 1. Okay, the first covenant also had ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first where there was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, where there was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So during the first tabernacle, the way was not made accessible because you had to go in with blood in order to offer blood for the sins of the people. Verse 9, which was the figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. You had to come in with gifts and sacrifices, but your service was imperfect because it was according to mortal man. Your conscience was not cleansed. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. All right, here comes the Reformation. 11, but Christ, becoming a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying flesh, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Okay, this is the order of Melchizedek, because he offered the perfect sacrifice because he was perfected. He was not mortal. He was from the ancient. He was the perfect offering. And because of that, the Spirit offered himself up to the Father, your conscience can be purged from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator, verse 15 of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Are we blessed forever and ever and ever because of the work of Jesus on our behalf regarding our sins? Praise his great name. And finally, let's look at Hebrews 12, how this priesthood going from the law, Moses, Mount Sinai, to Yeshua, Mount Zion, is connected. Hebrews 12, 18. For you're not come into the mountain that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which the voices they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you, those of us who are in this company, are coming unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Okay, so there, he's saying there, you need to listen. If you didn't listen to Moses and the law, don't refuse that, and don't refuse Jesus who spoke from heaven. His testimony, his blood, is crying out for you, for redemption, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Here it says that Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, it speaks better things than that of Abel. And that we need to listen to that blood and that testimony, and that we will receive the inheritance of Mount Zion, an eternal kingdom which cannot be shaken. Praise the name of the Lord forever.